Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, Mama. I'm Liz Tennedy, the co-founder of Motherly, a mother of four myself, and your regular host here at the Motherly Podcast. I'm really excited to introduce a new bonus show that we have for you this season called This is Motherhood, and you're tuning in to one of these episodes today. These special episodes will be hosted by Emmy Award-winning TV journalist Joyce Brewer, and all of these conversations focus on the transformation to motherhood, centering on the perspectives of mothers of color. Joyce has a really powerful and inspiring group of guests lined up. I'm so thrilled to pass her the mic for this series. Thanks for listening.
This episode is sponsored by Target. Target has always been my primary baby destination. They have so many affordable quality baby products, from fragrance-free wipes to ultra-gentle diapers and formula from brands I trust. I also love that they offer Drive Up, which is a lifesaver for busy moms. Basically, you just order your items with Target's app and someone literally brings it to your car for free. So your sleeping baby can stay cozy in your car and you don't have to change out of your sweatpants. So next time you need something from Target, get your order quickly and safely with Drive Up on the Target app or just head to the store. Welcome to This is Motherhood. I'm Joyce Brewer. I'm an African-American mom, and I know that the voices of other BIPOC moms can be so helpful on your motherhood journey, no matter where you are, but especially if you're a new mom. I wish that there was a podcast like this with more moms of color when I was pregnant with our son to listen to. So I'm so glad that we are putting these women who are experts in their field and have so much experience here on the Motherly podcast feed so that more questions are answered and more views are heard. Hello, everyone. I'd love to introduce you to this week's guest, my friend, Bernetta Knighton. Bernetta is a life coach, author, blogger, and podcast host. She's also the founder of The Knighton Project, a nonprofit that puts together suitcases of essentials for young adults aging out of the foster care system. We talk about building her organization and then dive into all things motherhood, from how she shares personal challenges with her kids to adapting to different parenting stages. It was a joy to have her on this series because Bernetta has been an inspirational friend for me for years, and now you get to meet her. Hi, Bernetta. Welcome to This is Motherhood. I cannot wait for our guests to hear all of your inspiring words and all of the things that you do. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
So I have to ask you a question that we ask all of our guests. Every mother has to face this question. Let's say you only have 5 minutes to go to Target because you're running kids back and forth to sports and all these things, but you've got a 5 minute break, Bernetta. Where are you going in Target? What are you getting in that 5 minutes?
If I only have 5 minutes, knowing me, I am going to where the beauty stuff is, looking at skincare stuff. I like to get certain soaps and certain products I've gotten from Target. My new mascara that I like from Target. Oh, and this new retinol lotion that they sell at Target. It's called Verse. So yeah, I'm going to the beauty section.
I am with you. I am a Verst fan. I use the Verst retinol serum and I got it delivered to my house same day. So that was extremely convenient when I felt like I was in the need to give myself a facial.
Yeah.
I got it from Target and I love the Verst product. So I'm with you there.
Yeah. It's the full body retinol that I'm talking about, but there are some more Verst products that I want to try. And I, you know, I bought it for my legs and I see a difference. Okay. I see a difference. I'm on my second bottle and you can put it on your neck and everything, but it's retinol for your body.
Wait, so there is Verst retinol for your whole body. That is next on my shopping list for Target. So thank you, Brunetta, for that. So one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on as a guest for This Is Motherhood is because on top of being a mom and a wife, you run a nonprofit. So can you tell us briefly what the Knighton Project is and what you do?
Okay, the Knighton Project, we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we provide brand new suitcases for teens who are aging out of foster care, and we fill them with everyday essentials that they need as they age out and transition into adulthood.
And as someone who is your social media and in-person friend, I saw it just come as a natural progression for you. You are a very giving person. You always have great ideas. So why did your nonprofit evolve and then become something that focuses on foster kids who age out?
Great question. When I first started the Knighton Project in 2015, the main purpose of the Knighton Project was to make dreams come true for everyday people, because I'm a dreamer. I believe you should dream. Certified life coach, 2 books about manifesting and dream planner. But we had this thing that we did every year, which was make an impact on the community. And in 2020, well, before 2020, we did Purses with Purpose, where we filled purses for women in a domestic violence situation with everything that they would need if they had to flee, and gave them to these women that were in a shelter before Christmas. And that's when I lived in Atlanta. So when I moved here, it took a couple of years off because I didn't know anybody in Florida, getting used to it. So when we launched back up our community initiative, we did Packing with Purpose. I learned about the foster system. I learned about when they age out, they get trash bags. So a lot of foster teens, when they age out, they go homeless. I used to give every year to the foster community, but when I learned what happens to them every day, I'm like, okay, we're going to do this. So after that first year, the community impact was so big that after we ended, I kept getting calls. Hey, Brunetta, can I get a suitcase? And I'm like, we only do it on Christmas. Hey, Brunetta, like literally. And so I went back to my Oprah voice. And, you know, she says, first it's a whisper, then it's a scream, then it's a yell, you know. And so it was yelling at me. And I prayed and I talked to my husband and the people that helped me. I said, I really think I should pivot the whole Knighton Project, because foster teens don't age out just on Christmas. They age out every day. And so they said, we are right there with you. And we transitioned and pivoted 2021 to doing it full time. And then we just want to make dreams come true now for a foster teen. So we still got the dream in there.
That is amazing. And anyone who follows the Knighton Project on Instagram can see that your whole family is involved in this effort. So what is it like working with your husband and your kids to get all of these supplies together and pack them and distribute them and work together as a family?
It's still a job, you know, because it was my passion project. So it's kind of like, especially with the kids, they're teens now. So it's like, come on, you know, but it's still teaching them to give back. And that's the whole purpose with my children, is you are blessed. You're not in this situation, but just because you live how you live, there are people that don't. And sometimes you need to see that. So it's more teaching my kids to how to give back, why it's important, and get their hands dirty, so to speak.
So what kind of feedback or reactions do you get? What do some of these teenagers who are now young adults say when they get a suitcase filled with things that are packed for them?
Unfortunately, when I hand them out, I do not get to see the teens, because our suitcases are a gift when they age out. They age out at 18. So what happens is I partner with foster agencies that say, hey, Brunetta, we have 3 teens aging out, 2 boys, 2 girls. Can we have the suitcases by next week? So I'm giving them to the foster agencies and then they give them to the kids on their birthday. But I ask them for pictures. I ask them for comments. So I do get pictures and I hear things like, oh, my gosh, is this all for me? One person said, oh, my God, I'm so happy you put socks in here. They were just excited about socks. So One time I did get to meet someone that I gave a suitcase to. A few months later, I was at a banquet and they told her that that's the lady. And then she just hugged me so tight and said, because of you, I was able to travel to another state and I didn't have to worry. And I got goosebumps because I'm like, this is the reason I do it. So most of the times I'm getting testimonials from the foster agencies and pictures of the teens with their suitcases.
You mentioned that you are a life coach, you've written books, you speak. Thank you for being a guest on this podcast and sharing all of that. So my question is, how do you do it all on top of being a wife and working and having three children?
I don't know how I do it all. I just take it one day at a time. I think that's all you can do because I'm older than I was before when we first started this influencer game. So some stuff you have to let go. And I'm in a season of raising teenagers. You'll be there soon. And you know what your kids need at 2, 3, 4, 5, they need twice, three times that at 14, 15, 16, 17. So if you are a follower of mine, you might have seen me scale back a lot because I am like in the throes of parenting. My kids need me more on a different level than they needed me before. So I just take everything that I do day by day because I'm doing stuff for me, but I'm doing stuff for them.
And that's what I think is interesting as parenting influencers. You know, when we started, our children were a lot younger. So I remember you just had Earl and Bailey and then you had Emery. So it's like I've seen your children grow up and you've seen AJ grow up. And it's interesting that you mentioned that their needs change because a lot of the motherly listeners are new parents, new moms and dads. So what is something that you would say to a listener who is brand new to the game, brand new parent, that as you look back, is there something that helped you along the way, an inspiration, a book, or just a reminder to get through some of those tougher times when your children are little and demand so much of you physically and emotionally?
I think one thing that helped me very much, even helping me to this day, is I have a person who I look up to who's maybe, she may be 5, 6 years older than me, but her kids are a generation older than my kids. And she's actually Bailey's godmother, but I've seen her kids when they were in elementary, middle, and now all of her kids are grown with children. So I literally watched her and her husband, and she's a great parent. So I always went to her with all my questions and just that tribe support when you have questions. If you are a first-time mom, when you have a baby, it is the hardest, okay? Because you never had a baby. You got to keep them alive. You got to feed them. You got to make sure you never had a baby. But by baby 2 and 3, you're a pro. But when you get into like I said, 14, 16, 17, and you've never had a teenager, you're back to that being hard again because now these are young adults that you poured all this into, and now they think they know everything. Now they want to have social lives. Now they have opinions and thoughts, and they're forming their emotions, and it's just new territory. So the sweet spot is ages like 3 to 11, where they still love you and want to hug you and kiss you, and you're still the world, but that changes. Now they still love you, but it changes.
It does change because, like you said, I remember when my son used to look up to me like I knew everything, and now he looks at me like, this poor lady, she is struggling. AJ is 12.
Okay, yeah, see, he's starting. Like, that's the... yeah.
And I'm like, I need you to respect me. I may be a little confused and overwhelmed, but I still know what I'm doing.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They don't think you know anything anymore, you know, like, but let their friend tell them 1 + 1 = 2. I told you mom is 2, but then you say 1 + 1 = 2. No, it's 3. I don't care what you... Now, the person that I told you helped me along the way, I'm calling her saying, when does this phase end? And then, you know, she's like, they'll come back. Just keep pouring into them. Keep parenting. Remember, you are their parent, not their friend. And sometimes they're not going to like you. They're going to come back. So I'm just waiting right now for the comeback.
One of the things that I know you do on top of parenting and pouring into your children is building on their goals and aspirations. Because I remember when your daughter Bailey started Bailey's Nail Box and she was doing nails and she started a subscription box and now she has a book coming out.
She does. It's available now, called Bailey's Nail Box Children's Book. And she created a children's book about her journey in Bailey's Nail Box, how she got started. And then we created a coloring book to go with it. So it's a coloring book / activity book. And this is Bailey's second book. She was a co-author with 25 other kidpreneurs a few years back, but this is her first book where she's the only author.
It seems like your children are inspired by you. Do they come to you with these ideas? Do you come to them with these ideas? Or is it kind of like a collaboration?
For Bailey's Nail Box, she came to me with wanting to do a nail stand, like a lemonade stand. And then we did that for a while when I lived in Georgia, had people come into our home, standing in line to get their nails painted by a six-year-old. But when we started and the move to Florida, we didn't know anyone and we knew it would be hot. So then I came up with, how can I keep her entrepreneurial spirit? And I was like, well, maybe we can do a box. And that's how that started. My son, I don't tell him what to do as far as entrepreneur. I'll just put it out there. He gets inspiration and he'll just come. That book came from a community service project he was doing, and he had the opportunity to be an author. So he took it.
Also, I noticed that you and your husband are very intentional about dating and spending time with each other. For the new parents who are listening, that can be kind of insurmountable when you have smaller kids. So how do you squeeze that in, or how do you prioritize that?
The good part about where we are now, and moms, it gets better, I promise. I have a 9-year-old, a 14-year-old, and a 17-year-old. So now we're at the age where we can go out and not worry because the 14-year-old and 17-year-old can watch the 9-year-old. But before then, you know, it was kind of tough. You don't have family, if you don't have a sitter, there's just ways you can make it happen. Put the kids in the bed and do a date night at home. But how we make it intentional is just, like last week, I told my husband, I'm like, you need to take me out. Like, you haven't took me out. Like, I need a date night. So he was like, well, when do you want to go out? And we said Friday, I got it all cute and we went out. You just have to put it on the calendar and you have to make it happen like you make anything else happen. You have to prioritize what's important to you.
We'll be back after a short break. Thanks to our sponsor, Target. Target is my favorite place to go for affordable quality baby products, whether it's fragrance-free wipes, ultra-gentle diapers, or formula from brands I trust. I also love that they offer same-day delivery and drive-up. While I can honestly spend all day at Target, these offerings are just a huge lifesaver for busy moms on those days when you have your hands full with 200 things at once. So next time you need something from Target, check out the same-day delivery or drive up on the Target app, or just head to the store for everything you need. We're back with Burnetta Knighton. Tell us about your experience being diagnosed with type 1 diabetes a few years ago, and then also your decision to be so open about it.
Well, I was diagnosed 2015, and it was very hard, just the diagnosis. It was life-changing. I had all the symptoms of type 2, and I go get my checkups every year. And right before I went to get my yearly checkup, you know, I just had all these symptoms, blurry eyes, like literally I was tapping my eyes like, I cannot see. Using the restroom 2 and 3 times an hour, had to sleep all the time. Why did I have to sleep? Because my blood was so high. And that's a symptom when your blood glucose is high, you get sleepy. So sleeping, using the bathroom, blurry eyes, and so when I went to WebMD, it said diabetes. So when I went to get my numbers checked, everything was in range as it always was. But that glucose was like 300 something. And it was supposed to be between 70 and 120. So they were like, it's probably a glitch because, you know, your numbers are good. Everything else is fine. Check it again. It was 300 something. So they were like, okay, you probably have type 2. And a couple months later, they put me on metformin and blood still high. So they took the diabetes type 1, which is a C-peptide test. That's the indicator. And it came back that it was type 1 instead of type 2.
Were you shocked?
I was just shocked for either diagnosis. I would have been shocked because I consider myself healthy. But type 1, I did learn, was an autoimmune disease. So it wasn't nothing that I brought on my own from diet or exercise. You know me, Joyce. I always
exercise. I know you work out all the time and you take your daughter to the gym.
But what happens is, kind of like when a woman is pregnant and they had that pregnancy test to see if your body's going to turn on the baby. That's the same thing with type 1. Your body turns on your pancreas that makes the cells that make insulin. So when that happens, it's called beta cells. When they're destroyed, you can't make any more insulin and you have to take insulin forever. And that's why it's an autoimmune disease.
And you've been really transparent about monitoring your blood sugar. I know there's a device that you wear. And what kind of reactions have you had from even your family and your followers when they found out that you had diabetes and that this was going to be a part of your life forever?
When I was diagnosed in 2015, I did not mention it online until 2018. So I did not mention it for 3 years. Of course, when I went first was diagnosed, I got depressed and why me, try to heal myself and doing all these things. And then I started wearing what they call the Omnipod. I don't wear that anymore, but that was what gave me insulin. It was this big old thing. And I was like, you know what? I got to do this. I got to take insulin. I got to wear this thing. And I got to live for my kids. I really want to be here for my kids when they get older. So who cares if they see it? Who cares if they know? Because it is what it is. And that's when I said something in my blog. People have been very supportive. And now, the last year and a half, 2 years, I've been an influencer for Abbott. So now I wear a sensor. It's right here. And I check my glucose through my phone. So literally now I just open my phone and see my numbers. No finger pricking. I see my range and everything. And I'm an influencer for them now.
How else has it changed your life?
Well, even though it's an autoimmune disease, I have to watch still what I eat because I try to keep my glucose in a certain range. So even though I thought I was healthier before, like I'm trying to be super healthy now to make sure I'm here in the long run and not have the side effects that come with either type 1 or type 2. So that's the main thing. It's made me even more healthier, more intentional with my exercise and more medical bills because you got to go to the doctor every 3 months to get your blood drawn. When you're packing on a trip, you got to make sure you got your medicines. I take 2 insulin. I take insulin every time I eat and then 1 every night. So yeah, it's changed my life.
Wow. How do your children react to watching you have to do this sort of maintenance to stay healthy?
They are used to it now. I mean, because now I've had it 7 years. And when I was first diagnosed in 2015, I did not tell my kids for maybe almost a year. And my doctor, my endocrinologist, can see the stress. She was like, your family doesn't know, do they? And I'm like, no. I was hiding, trying to shoot my finger, trying to get myself blood, walking out the room. Because, you know, I was going through like, why me? They don't need to see this. She was like, tell your kids. Just tell your kids. And I told them. And like I said, that was 7 years ago. So if Earl's 17 now, he was 10. Bailey was 8.
How did they react?
I don't think they understood. They did see mommy starting to, you know, inject herself and stuff. But now, like, it's literally normal. If I say, I'm feeling like my blood is low, guys, can you give me something out the refrigerator? They just go and they get it. Now it's just part of their life. Mommy has to do this.
Well, I think that's important for them to see that you don't let this slow you down in any way, shape, or form. You're still very active, working, non-profiting, getting them to all of their events and things. So that's, I think, a good example for them to see that if something comes up, a bump in the road or something unexpected, you don't let it stop you.
Yeah, I mean, because my long-term goal just for living is to be here for my children as adults. Like, I want to see my children as adults. And so I think about that when I'm thinking about my blood, when I'm thinking about eating, exercising, just living. I want to be here for my children as they age.
Another topic that we talk about on the This Is Motherhood series, of course, is race, because we are talking to moms of color. And I wanted to point out one of the blog posts that I know you wrote about where race and color came up was when your oldest son, Earl, said something to you about recognizing that he was the darkest skinned member of your family. So can you tell us a little bit about that and where that conversation went once he brought that up?
I believe, because this was a while ago, but I believe we were watching an episode of Blackish. And they were tackling skin color because if you watch Blackish, they had all ranges of black people and black people come in all shades. So we were watching the episode they were dealing with. And I believe he said something about him being the darkest one in the house and something about being lighter, or wanting to be lighter. We never really talk shades in this house because we are all different shades. Like all 5 of us are a different shade. So we've never said one is better than the other ever. And then when he brought that up, I let him know, like, do you ever see mommy say anything about my skin color, or you or Bailey or anything's better or worse? No, I'm like, nothing is better, nothing is worse. We are all Black, we are all equal, and I don't want you to think less of yourself. And like, it really hasn't come up anymore because we don't talk skin color. We just love each other and accept, you know, it is what it is. We're all different things.
Well, Earl is 17 years old and he's also driving now. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, in this country, driving while Black and brown can bring about their own set of risks. So what was that like for you and your husband, getting him, you know, his driver's license and all these things, and then letting him drive and be prepared for what could happen, you know, if he's involved in an accident or pulled over by police?
Well, he's 17 and we're still feeling it because he hasn't even been driving a full year yet, even though he thinks he's a pro. But just the emotional part of being a mom and letting your son go out there at 17, it's emotional. Like, we've had the talk about being pulled over, having your insurance, keeping your hands at 10 and 2. So we just, all I can do is pray that everything will work out. We've poured into him. We've taught him. So you just got to pray. Because 17 is also an emotional age for me because that's the year Trayvon Martin was 17. Jordan, I cannot think of his last name, but his first name was Jordan. And he was 17 when he was killed here in Florida by a man that shot him just because his music was too loud here in Florida. So my son is 17 and I was actually looking at him yesterday when I was driving, just looking and standing and thinking like, God, just protect him.
Are there any other issues of race that have come up, you know, with your kids in school and events and activities? Because like you said, you have kids of all different ages, different stages. So are there questions that they come to you or your husband about when it comes to race?
Actually, no, we actually go to them about race and we talk about race. They tell us we talk about race too much. And that's us just telling them what's going on in the world and how things sometimes can be different. But they have friends of all races. And I think that's a good thing.
But it's interesting that, like you said, your son saw something in the media. He saw a show that brought up a feeling that he felt comfortable enough saying something to you. So clearly you and your husband have great communication with your kids.
Yeah, I think that's one thing we wanted from the beginning was to have good communication with our children and for our children to feel comfortable talking to us, not disrespectful, but expressing what's on your mind, because that's how you're going to make your relationship stronger and that you can really hear what they're going through and talk to them about it.
So if you can look back on your motherhood journey of raising these three beautiful people, are there any things that they have taught you along the way about yourself?
They taught me to be patient because sometimes a child is on its own timeline. You might want something for them earlier, quicker, or you should know this by now. But they are also people. They are also learning, just like I'm learning to be a mother. They are learning to just grow up. So patience. They taught me who I am, so to speak. And I say that because my son has a lot of my traits that I have, good and bad. So the bad, I'm like, no. But then I'm like, oh, that's what I do. You know what I mean? So they've taught me who I am. So it kind of made, okay, I can yell at you or discipline you, but then I got to check myself like, okay, maybe you need to stop doing that because you do it too.
Yeah, there is nothing like your child reflecting you back to yourself and you're like, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
What is next for your nonprofit, the Knighton Project?
We start our Packing with Purpose campaign in October. And what that is that's when we get on social media, promote for 2 months from October 15th through December 15th. We're promoting Packing with Purpose, where we collect donations, cash, we collect the essential items, and we'll take those suitcases and we'll give them to foster agencies around Tampa. We do collect donations year round and we do hand out suitcases year round. Packing with Purpose is just the campaign that's really out in the forefront during that time period. But yes, you can donate today.
I've seen these sort of efforts in other cities. So is there any plan or do you ever connect with other organizations like in other cities that are supporting teens who age out of foster care similarly? Because you've recognized it. People in other cities have recognized it, but do you ever connect?
A few people in different states have reached out about starting a Packing with Purpose in their state, but it just hasn't manifested yet because personally, I want to like get it very right here in Tampa before I do that. And I just don't know how to do the logistics yet of managing something in Ohio or something in Alabama. So I believe it's coming, but it just hasn't happened yet. It just hasn't happened yet. But that doesn't stop anybody from doing their own thing in another city, because foster kids are everywhere. And that's just like me. I only do the Tampa area, but there's foster kids aging out all over.
Even with support of a family and parents and loved ones, that 18 to 20 is a pivotal time for kids, don't you think?
It is very pivotal. I mean, I went to college at 17. You're grown when you turn 18, but mentally, when you think back, you didn't know anything. And a lot of these kids, when they age out, if they do not have a home to go back to or their own place set up, they are literally homeless. So a lot of the foster teens are homeless. They are an invisible population walking right by us in the store, homeless, and we have no idea. And I can't reach them all, but it's like doing my part just to let them know we do value you. We do care. So also in our suitcases, we do put a resource folder of things that they can try to get while they are now on their own.
But like you said, for that one young lady that you were able to meet, having that suitcase allowed her to move to someplace, it sounds like, where she had a little bit more support.
Yeah, and she actually flew. And she was like, thank you. I was able to fly to California because I had a suitcase. So I'm so grateful for the people that helped me. I'm so grateful for people that want to donate and sponsor. Everything that they give us, we definitely use and put in the hands of these young adults.
Barnetta Knighton from the Knighton Project, thank you so much for sharing your passion, your goals, your motherhood advice with our listeners.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening today. We'll be back next week with another great informative episode, so make sure you tune in. This is Motherhood is produced by Jennifer Bassett and Olivia Hendrickson, with editing by Anthony Lemos. I'm your host, Joyce Brewer. Thanks for listening.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.